This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread, this is bread amplified.
Welcome back to Cottage Talk. This is Cottage Talk full time. Joining me right now is Emilio Danella. This is our initial reaction to Fulham's 0-0 draw at Selhurst Park against Crystal Palace. Emilio, I put this in the title because I think it best describes how I feel about it. You mentioned before we went live, let's ask the supporters, was this 2 points dropped? Or again, is it a point gained? I'm curious your view on this. I think that this is very much 2 points dropped. Fulham dominated the second half. First half, again, was cagey, but second half was awful. But we go back to the same story, my friend. Not clinical enough. They did create the opportunities. We saw Josh Maja show up in the second half. And I think part of it was, believe it or not, I just think that they started finding opportunities for him and were more aggressive in the second half. Your opening reaction to this 0-0 draw?
Definitely 2 points dropped for me. Yeah, good lineup, strong lineup, positive lineup that we had today, and you know, it's disappointing to come away from home. Okay, positive. I'm going to talk on the positives first. Another clean sheet. We've not lost a London derby again, so that's another positive. London derbies we've lost over the last few seasons, but again, when you play, you dominate possession, you dominate chances. You play against a very poor Crystal Palace team who, you know, produce very little. What do they offer? Absolutely nothing. You know, to come away only with a point is disappointing. You know, I think that first half was a typical Scott Parker first half. Yes. Keep possession, try to, you know, play, you know, try to make opportunities, be patient, the usual philosophy. I think if we were a little bit more assertive, I think we could have gone into halftime ahead. We started brightly, first 20 minutes, we were lively, looking sharp. Looking good passing, but then we sort of took the foot off the gas a little bit. Palace came back in, had a bit more possession, but neither side looked like scoring in that first half. To be totally frank, you know. So, but that was disappointing. I think if we wanted that game enough, like we did West Bromwich Albion away, why didn't we play with that level of intensity that we did against West Brom away? Dominate possession, create chances, get an early goal, and then start to protect the lead. But you know, I think we lost another 45 minutes there where we could have been a more assertive, more direct. Overall, in the first half, comfortable without looking dangerous.
That's actually a good analysis of the first half. And I would tend to agree with you, Emilio. And I mentioned to you, you know, again, I could be totally wrong about this, but you kind of mentioned this as well. It was a typical Scott Parker first half. Keep it close. Keep it, you know, again, more, you know, keep the ball, you know, keep ball and be in control. We were in control, but didn't create much. Neither did Palace, like you mentioned. And I've seen this too many times. I feel like, again, he makes his adjustments at halftime. The team is much more assertive in the second half. We'll talk about that because I'm not saying it was night and day, but it was a different Fulham team, a more aggressive team in the second half, creating more opportunities. Josh Maja got involved where he was not involved in the first half, like you and I talked about. So again, you have to ask yourself why. Was it the players? Was it the approach, the tactics from Parker? I don't have the answer. All I know is I feel like I've seen this movie too many times, Emilio, where we just want to get to halftime. We saw it so many times in the championship. Let's just get to halftime. We're either even or maybe we nick a goal. Second half, we go for it. Mm. And, you know, again, he makes a substitution with about 20 minutes to go, bringing on Mitro. We'll talk about that in a bit. But the first half, I just thought to myself, okay, we're even at the half, but was it a missed opportunity, Emilio, not getting that goal in the first half? Yeah, was it a missed opportunity?
You know, yeah, we said it, I think it was at the Burnley game. We said we lost 45 minutes by offering very little. And it felt, although we're in control, passing the ball well, working hard, Anderson had, you know, got himself a good, you know, from two set pieces, two corners. He maybe could have done better on one of those two chances. But at the end of the day, if we were a little bit more hungry, I think if we started the game like we did away to West Bromwich Albion, we would have been ahead at halftime.
Yep.
I just said at the time, we were just trying to size Crystal Palace out, not knowing what formation they were going to play. They've got a sort of a number of injuries, and maybe they were just looking, you know, we were just trying to be patient, trying to carve out opportunities. It's just we're lacking a bit of quality at times. And, you know, Loftus-Cheek, I thought, had a very quiet first half. Lookman, a little bit lightweight again. Maybe I expected a little bit more out of him. There was just where you wanted a bit of quality in key moments. Magic had no service in that first half. And that's a result of maybe, you know, poor quality crossing and the passing and movement maybe not being as good as it should be. But overall, I thought we were comfortable at halftime. But then going to the second half, you know, we were talking off air. Did Robinson come on for Aina tactically? You're telling me potentially Aina picked up an injury. If it was tactical, I don't think that worked. I don't think Robinson coming on, he didn't really offer much other than maybe the last 5-10 minutes with a bit of pace. But that I would have liked to have seen Mitrovic come on at halftime. I thought, well, actually, you've got to go win this game, Scott Parker. Mix it up a little bit. Yep. Put some strength up there because he could have gone between the two central defenders, holding up the ball well and bringing Maguire into play. But you know, I think bringing on Mitrovic last 10-15 minutes, ineffective, to be honest. I think we took a few gambles.
Yep.
We took Anguissa off to give us a bit more power up front. But overall, it's 45 minutes lost in the first half. In the second half, you've got to take your chances. Now, then that's the key. That's the key thing for me.
Yep.
When you do carve out chances, you've got to grab them. We keep saying this, that we're not going to get 10-15 chances again. You're going to get a handful. And when you do get those handful, you've got to make them count. Albeit, you know, Crystal Palace keeper made an excellent save. You know, we've got to give him credit for a save from Maja.
He did, because that was a great opportunity for Maja. We'll talk about that in just a second, Emilio. But going back, and again, I got the international broadcast from Peacock, so I just want to mention that. And before the second half began, as the players were coming back on the pitch, the announcer said that, again, Robinson was coming on for Aina and that it was injury-related. He said that. He did not say it was tactical. He said they're hearing that it was injury-related. Now, I didn't see anything from Aina. I'm just telling you what I heard. Doesn't sound like you heard that on the BBC broadcast. No. That's what I heard on the, I think you're going to call it an international broadcast. So that's what I heard. So we'll have to see from Scott Parker if that is true. They led the audience to believe that this was not tactical, that it was injury-related to Aina. So we'll see what Parker has to say, and just so anyone realizes we're recording this right after the match, so we have not heard what Scott Parker has to say.
Look at it, side by side, Crystal Palace, like I said, offered very little for 90 minutes, but their danger outlet was always Andros Townsend with his crossing.
He was their best player.
Cavallero, when he came on, he looked lively, good crossing for Maja, etc. But why aren't we doing more of that at times? Sometimes when you've got to go and win a game, sometimes you have to don't try to pass the ball into the net. Sometimes you have to be a touch more direct, get some good crossing into the box, like Andros Townsend done, you know, quite a few times today. And he made, we shouldn't have been under that pressure. The game should have been out of sight. I thought we were dominated the game, but no, it's two points dropped. And you can hear from my voice, disappointed, because we've got three tough games coming up. And
I'm disappointed too, Emilio. I can't hide that.
2 points. Get those extra 2 points closer to those other three teams and keep the pressure on those guys whilst we know we've got some three tough games coming up. But it's like all the fans are saying tonight, you know, it's another draw. You know, we can't keep picking up these draws here and there. They help. They contribute. We're getting one point closer, but it's a missed opportunity. That's probably
absolutely. And that's the best way to look at it. I couldn't agree more. It's a missed opportunity, as I'll use a tennis term. We held serve because, again, now we're back down to 3 points. So I get that, and that's a positive. And you guys who watch and listen, you know, Emilio, I'm very positive. I am disappointed because this was, as you said, a missed opportunity. And I'll just ask everyone who is watching or listening, ask yourself what Ariola had to do the entire match. I think the only thing he had to do was a pass backwards from Anderson. Yeah. That was, again, the only thing that I can remember that he actually really had to do. And like you mentioned, their danger man was Andrus Townsend. And that's it. You name anyone else that really threatened you, it was Townsend. Whenever he had the ball, I was feeling a little bit nervous. What's interesting how you said that is that, again, listen, I've been critical of Ivan Cavallaro. I actually asked Giannis last night on the show, is he strictly just a championship player or a bench player in the Premier League? Well, I think we saw some of the reasons why Scott Parker likes him is because, again, he was getting some crosses in the box. Mm-hmm. He was doing what you said we should have been doing in the first half, Emilio. You look at Andrus Townsend, why can't we do more of that? That's a great analysis.
You know, that's why that first 45 minutes, again, we're trying to walk the ball into the net like we normally do whilst in control. But, you know, when Cavallaro came on, give him his dues, we stepped it up a little bit. We had a bit more of a spark. We were in the ascendancy. We were dominating. We were pushing forward. Loftus-Cheek started to grow into the game as well, if you notice. Yep. Well, a long speculative volley just went wide from Loftus-Cheek. So there were moments in that second half. But, you know, other than the two magic chances, you know, one with a great save from the keeper and one maybe should have hit the bottom corner and hit the target. Maybe we can afford to be a little bit critical of him there. You know, we didn't really offer much else. That's the thing. All that possession to those two resulted in those two opportunities, and you know that was it. It's all about having all that possession, dominating in the midfield, but we need to be more at times more direct. That's why I would like to see Mitrovic coming on at halftime. I was messaging Steve Reynolds, our friend, you know, over halftime, saying bring on Mitrovic, change it a little bit. You know, invite, you know, because I thought those Crystal Palace defenders looked uncomfortable. You saw them in the second half; they weren't comfortable.
No,
Throw the gauntlet out, Scott Parker. You know, 45 minutes, this could make or break your season. Go and grab those 3 points, be more assertive, and, you know, put those Palace defenders under pressure. I think that would have made a difference. Putting Mitrovic on with 10, 15 minutes to go, I thought was pretty pointless, to be honest. Yeah, I did no value.
It's very interesting that you say that, Emilio, because, again, we'll talk about that in just a bit. But coming up next, we're going to analyze the second half, and we will end with man of the match. Okay, my friend, let's get to it. Before we go to the second half, I'm just going to share some comments. If you're watching live, feel free to share your thoughts on this. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, do you think this is 2 points dropped? So I'm going to share some comments. This is from my friend Chris. Afternoon, guys. This is 2 points dropped. Michael White said the same thing. Michael, I'm not going to share that other comment, but I'm going to share that. This is 2 points dropped because you shared something else. I'm not going to share that, but thank you for sharing that as well. Here's a comment from Benjamin Mert. You know, again, Benjamin, I understand where you're coming from. Thought we played very well today. I understand that, but it's not about the performances right now. I get what you're saying, because if you look over the 90 minutes, but that goes back to what we're talking about, Emilio. They did play well today. It's a good performance, but it's 2 points dropped.
And sometimes we have to find a way to win ugly. How many times have we won ugly this season?
Not often.
We won ugly this season. So it's sometimes you have to, you know, you have to make, you know, you have. Well, let's not be overcritical. Look, it's another clean sheet. It's another point on the board. 7 away games without defeat in the Premier League. That's a pretty good record.
Yep.
We still held this excellent record. You know, I sent you that photo earlier on that we're second in the table for least goals conceded since in the last 3 months.
That's amazing. If you think about it, it really is amazing.
The other statistic, though, you know, in terms of how many goals scored. But as far as I'm concerned, there are some positives to take that we're keeping the momentum going. We're clocking up points, but we've got some tough games coming up, and I just like us sometimes to just be a little bit more ugly in trying to carve out those victories. You know, Sheffield United, you know, we dominated, but, you know, we struggled to get that goal. You know, West Everton, we dominated from start to finish. Great win. West Brom game in the early season, we dominated that win. I like us to sort of turn these sort of average to good people into make some ugly wins.
Right.
Win ugly for a change.
It's fine. It's fine.
I don't mind. It's not necessarily to Benjamin's point. I agree. It's all about playing composed, structured, tidy, neat. But sometimes you have to just ride your luck, play ugly, and win ugly. that's what that will sometimes get you more points than trying to be pretty. So I think sometimes we have to. Next three games are going to be important: Tottenham, Liverpool, and Man City. How many
and they're all going to be very difficult matches. You know, yeah. Listen, I'm watching right now. We are recording live, and Tottenham are up 2-0 to Burnley. That helps us, but then it gets you to think, uh-oh, you know, because we're playing Tottenham next. What kind of state are they going to be in coming to Craven Cottage? But again, these are important matches, and you know, I've always said, you know, you just judge one that come to you. You know, each match on its own, but it's hard not to look at the next three, knowing that they're going to be difficult matches. How many points can we get to that? Yeah. We shall see. But I'm actually just going to share some more comments because we've got some interesting comments. This is from my friend Chris. Does Parker need to gamble more? I think you would agree with that, Amelia.
Yeah, and for me, it was like Mitrovic at halftime on, put him on at halftime, mix it up a little bit and create a more physical threat, you know, mix. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay, I'm going to share this. This is from our friend Steve Rounds. Thoughts on this, Amelia? We have 3 to 4 players working hard each game. We need 6 to 7 to stay up.
Today's game, I thought the players did work hard. We just weren't. I don't think we were assertive. I was a bit too much backwards passing, sideways passing at times. I think, especially that first half, I think we could have been a lot more direct, more positive thinking, looking forward, not looking back. And sometimes you saw the reaction from the players when they were quite, you know, upset that they had to keep going backwards in their own half rather than carrying on playing forward. You know, look at the Tete IU matchup today. I thought Tete had IU in his back pocket the whole game. You know, I thought they had a reasonably good game, but I'd like to see a bit more crossing. You know, he gets a position halfway into the opposing half, and then he stops and goes sideways and part then finds him. Get more men, commit more men, Scott Parker, into that penalty area, and get Kenny Tete and your wide men some crossing in the box. That's sometimes half the reason we're not crossing enough, because we're not committing these players in the key areas early enough. It's very much, well, you see a matcher, when Tete's pushing forward, get your position, where's man? He's on the edge of the penalty, push up a little bit more. Be more, you know, be more assertive, be more direct, be more ugly at times. Yep. And you might cover up a penalty opportunity, a handball, a free kick, a foul, all these, you know, you're not going to do that if you're just passing backwards, sideways and forward, sideways and forward. You have to mix up a little bit. Give your defence something to think about time and time again.
Very interesting there, Amelia. Okay, now let's talk about the second half. And I just want to mention this because, again, this is going to be an interesting little take that I have. So Fulham created a decent amount of opportunities. How many good opportunities? Maybe 3 or 4 throughout the second half. But I want to mention this because, again, I think it's going to get lost. And I'll be curious your view on what I'm about to share here. Josh Maja just takes a shot from distance. Again, trying to maybe catch the goalkeeper. Now, again, you could look at it as a waste, or maybe you could look at it, what happened afterwards, as maybe a sign of, okay, we're going to take it to you. We are going to be more assertive moving forward. Maybe it was a sign that we need to be more front forward thinking, even though it was never going to go in. After that, we saw many opportunities from Fulham. I thought maybe it was like a different type of mentality for the second half with him taking that opportunity. I know some are going to see it as a waste. But if you think about it in the context of the second half, after that, we created several opportunities. Was that just a way to just say, you know what, we're going to be more assertive?
You know, to be honest, that's very much the story of our season. How many times have Ian Cavallero gets into – I think Cavallero had a wasteful shot as well. Again, he was trying to do the spectacular. That was a wasted opportunity. You're in a good position. Be more intelligent in those moments. Maja, I thought, man, I thought – there's two, you know, to be honest, I actually thought he was looking at Lookman initially. Because if you actually look at it head on, his eyes were on Lookman, on the goalkeeper. So I actually thought it, but the commentators were suggesting it was he wanted to lob it over the keeper. Right? If you look at it from his eye contact, he actually looked at Lookman. So, but either way, I still think it was a waste. You know, you've got an opportunity there. In these key moments, be more intelligent. And that's sometimes we lose the concentration. We don't actually do the simple thing. You know, we're trying to do – Caballero's guilty of that most of the season, and we've done that consistently to his team. We get into reasonably good positions, more intelligent, a bit more Tom Kearney intelligence we need in those key moments, rather than just shooting and hoping.
Right, and listen, I'm not going to disagree that in the end it's a waste. I'm just trying to just put it in context of what happened afterwards. that, again, you needed to change your mentality, Emilio. I agree with you that they are wasteful, that if you look at it in the context, well, why is he doing this? Because it's a waste. Yes, I agree with that. But I will say that at least we saw a more forward-thinking team, and it started from the get-go. That was kind of my point on that, the second half, we did see more opportunities. They just, again, were not clinical enough. And the two I really want to focus on was the header from Maja that, again, it's a very good save from the goalkeeper. And then we have to talk about the opportunity from Anderson, because these are the two that really stick out to me. And this is just a good block from Cahill, who, believe it or not, I thought had a very good game for them. If he doesn't make that, Fulham score. So Fulham had their opportunities, and the announcer said on the that Maja opportunity, he should have scored. So again, we were creating these opportunities. Tosin had a few as well, just the headers, but we were creating stuff, Emilio. But again, they just were not clinical.
Yeah, and some of those, it was soft shots, weren't they? You know, Tosin header, it was back towards goal. That was, you know, it's always going to be difficult to put some power into that header. You know, the Anderson headers in the first half, those are key moments where you need your central defenders maybe to be a bit more clinical, at least hit the target there. But second half, I thought the Maja header, you know, he did excellently well to get between the two central defenders. And either side of the keeper, that would have been, you know, it was at the right, the keeper was slightly going one angle, but then he managed to recover his train and palmed that hand with enough intent. But it was a great header, slightly either side further, it would have been in the back of the net. The keeper wouldn't have saved it, but you've got to give the keeper credit for that. I don't think, I don't blame Maja for missing. I give the keeper credit for making that save. We've seen Ariola do that many times this season for us.
Right.
And we applaud the keeper. So I think you've got to give the keeper the credit there. The other moment when Maja, you know, good foot control and just got the ball right to the other side of the post.
Yep.
You know, just in fine margins.
Just a little bit, right.
Just fine margins, but he done well to create those two. And that, why aren't we doing that more often enough? Why aren't we putting those balls in here? The Caballero cross for Maja for that goal where the keeper saved.
That's right.
Townsend did that a few times today. You know, if we did that time and time again, Maja might have got on the back end of one of those crosses. So if you're going to use that type of player there, you've got to give him the ball in that 6 yard, like Aina did against Everton. Get Maja in the 6 yard box and you know, basically create the opportunity for him to tap in or be more clinical in that area. Maja's not going to be effective on the edge of the penalty area. You need him in the 6 yard box. You've got to give him service. So those two. More the keeper saving rather than Maja missing, but then you know, Palace got saved by the Kincaid. And then we look at the Anderson again, great block by Gary Cahill. You know,
exactly.
Anderson and Tosin do that for us many times this season. So well done, Gary Cahill. You know, great.
Yeah, I have to give him credit.
Yeah, it was a handball. The people were talking, there was a handball incident in the penalty area. That I didn't see any handball there, but it's just good defending. And you know, you've got to give. You know, the few moments the Palace had to work hard to defend, you know, the keeper done well and Gary Cahill done well. Right. Aside from that, you know, we didn't really trouble the keeper enough. It was soft shots or speculative shots.
Okay, very good there. All right. Emilio, as the match is winding down in the, I would say the last 10 minutes, Crystal Palace come into it a little bit and we bring on Mitro. Before that, we brought on Mitro in the 70th. Around the 70th minute. You've already said this. You would have done this at halftime. Do you think that, again, this is just too late to make this move, that maybe Parker's just being just too conservative again, that maybe he needed to be more, a little bit, as he talks about a lot, he needs everyone to be brave, and I agree with that. Should he have been more brave and made this substitution at halftime?
I think so, yeah. I would have liked to have seen it. This was a... Not must. All games are must wins now to the end of the season. So this was a game, a very winnable must win game, and to show lack a bit of ambition and assertiveness. I think give Mitro 45 minutes, see what he can come on and do. The fact that he's recovered. Some fans said maybe he only had 20 minutes in him. Then that's the case. And I disagree with that. I think he's had time to recover. And I think 45 minutes he could have made more of a valuable contribution into the game. Like I said. Sure. All depends if the Robinson one was tactical, whether it was enforced. But if it wasn't enforced, then the tactical change didn't work for me. Anderson, Robinson picked up a yellow card, didn't really offer much offensive threat until the last 5-10 minutes. And that was a disappointing substitution. Loftus-Cheek again grew into the game, but he didn't impose himself like he has done last. This is probably one of his poorer games compared to the last half dozen he's played. So maybe Loftus-Cheek should have come off. I didn't think first half he offered very little. So we've said Lookman, you know, maybe should have done, you know, a bit lightweight today. Some better crossing, better corners, better set pieces from Lookman today.
Yep.
I think, you know, that's a positive, another positive from the game. But overall, you know, we did enough to win the game. But, you know, if you don't take your chances, bottom line is you're not going to get your 3 points.
Right. I'm just going to share this. A couple comments. This is from Colin Frazier. We look like a top 10 side. They put 10 players behind the ball. He got the subs right today and was brave. So Colin's saying that, again, that he feels that Parker was brave here because he did make the substitutions. Your thoughts?
Yeah, again, the Anderson one, the Robinson one, I'm not speculating. You know, if it was tactical, I disagree. If it was enforced, then fine. You had no choice. But, you know, that wasn't
we'll find out on that.
We'll find out about that. I would like that again. I still would have liked to see Mitrovic come on earlier. I wanted more intent. We started creating more opportunities from the 60th minute onwards. I would like to see from the 46th minute keep pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, Cavalera, okay, midly, he made a good contribution when he came on, but these are not top players. If Cavalera's can come in and contribute 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there, it's decision making. At times are not very good today. Sometimes we've just got to be a little bit more composed on the ball and be more intelligent. And, you know, maybe we are missing Tom Kane. I know we've had this debate offline. I don't want to bring in, but you know, he'll be back in the squad very, very soon. And you know, maybe that's the type of intelligence we need. You know, but we're not seeing that often enough. So we've got three games coming up against tough teams, and maybe we will play better against those teams than the teams around us. We keep saying that we pick up more better against Liverpool, Man United.
It's very strange.
So don't rule out picking up some points in the next three, maybe Tottenham, but Harry Kane's back on form. He's scoring goals. So we've got to watch out for this week.
Well, like I said, we're recording this right now. It's again 3-0 to Tottenham over Burnley. It's only 31 minutes into the match. So
what's the score?
3-0 to Tottenham.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Keep conceding Burnley, you know, again, it makes
that helps us. That actually helps us. That's a good point. It actually helps us. That's a good point. Even though Tottenham look pretty good in the first half, this scoreline is actually helping for them. That's actually a good point. All right, Miller, just wrap this up. Man of the match. You said you have a couple players you'd like to give as man or think about for man of the match.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Anderson. I think Reed worked tirelessly throughout the game, always hungry, always battling hard. You know, we pressed Palace throughout the whole game. But for me, it's Anderson. You know, he looked dangerous from set pieces. His crossfield passing, top notch again. You know, he had almost maybe scored the winner at the end with the Cahill block. Overall, he looked dominant. He looked, for me, I'm going to give it to Anderson.
Okay. Who else do you think gets thoughts for men of the
match? Reed was very good. Reed was looked solid. You know, again, hungry, determined, assertive, you know, pressing, does what he does best. I'll probably say Anderson by country mile first, and then Reed comes second for me.
Okay. We're seeing the comments from both one for Reed and one for Anderson. And I understand that, you know, and again, it's funny, Emilio. I hate to bring this up, but I am going to bring this up because you'll get a chuckle from this. So, last season, we talked about Harrison Reed, and you said this. So, again, I'm curious if you changed your view on this. You said Harrison Reed's a player that will help you not lose but won't help you win. You said that. Yeah. So have you changed your mind on it? Because I think there's an argument that maybe you should consider that, because I think he's grown in stature and has proven he's a Premier League player.
Yeah, it's based on the performances, you know, certainly in the last 3 months, you know, definitely. You know, he has grown in confidence. He's made that role more his in the last few games. There was always one game Lamina, one game Reed. It was you know, tactically changing. But Reed's made that position his own now, to be honest. And, yeah, he has grown as a player. But, again, his job as a defensive midfielder is to protect your defence. But he's now offering a bit more offensive quality as well, which we never really saw in the Championship last season, did we? So I think, so for me, he's growing as a player, and maybe he will be an important player in the coming seasons. If he's proven it, he can compete at this level. And
okay, very good. I'm going to share this comment, and I'm going to give you a reason for this comment. So our friend Steve Reynolds calls me the Boston Donut. So because I tend to call him when I'm going to the donut shop that's near us, and he now calls me the Boston Donut. I'm going to let everyone know, Steve, that your nickname is the Foam Fart, okay? So, again, if you're going to call me the Boston Donut, you'll be known as the Foam Fart, you know, Foam Old Fart. We'll go a little bit further on that, the Foam Old Fart. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Emilio, final thoughts before we wrap this up.
Hey, look, let's not be totally disconsolate. It's another point on the board, another clean sheet, a tidy performance. Not spectacular, tidy, but there were some positive moments there. But it's, you know, we're going to three difficult games where maybe expectations are going to be lower. So maybe we will turn up and maybe give Tottenham, Liverpool, Man City a bit of a run for their money. But the key thing is we've got to keep that distance between ourselves and those three teams.
Yep.
I don't know. I need to look at the run-in for the next few games for Burnley, Brighton and Newcastle. I expect each of them to pick up some points.
So I agree with that.
That gap will start to extend again. It's 3 points now. We've got three tough games. It's all about staying in touch. If we could stay 3 points in touch and distance with at least one of those teams after those next three games, I'm okay with that. If the gap becomes 6 or 7, then we're back to the drawing board again. So
exactly.
That's the key thing for me. So in a way, we can only do what we can do. Perform well, give these top teams a run for their money and hopefully grab a win or a couple points. But we have to also rely on the other teams to start dropping points to keep that gap no more than 3 or 4 points.
I totally agree with that, Emilio, because as people have been pointing out to me, that the fixtures coming up for, I want to say, Burnley and also for Brighton, they're not that difficult. And I know Newcastle's, I believe, is not that difficult either. But we'll see. I haven't really looked at it that much. But they need to stay within that zone, I guess you could say, 3 to 4 points. If it's beyond that, then after these three matches, then it's going to make things a little bit difficult. But again, we've seen Fulham be able to compete with all these teams. The one team out of the three that I would be fearful of getting nothing out of would be Man City.
Yeah.
But the next two, even though Tottenham are having their way with Burnley today, there's no reason why they can't beat Tottenham at home. There's no reason why. And I also think that's something that we need to change our mentality. It's a different type of season, partially because of the pandemic. No fans at each location. There are no fans. So, again, I think that has changed home in a way. So I think Fulham have an opportunity to get points out of these next three matches. They do. The amount, we'll see how many. But if they got 3 or 4, I think that would be a huge win for Fulham. So we'll see. Anyways, it is time to wrap up this show of Cottage Talk. For my co-host, Emilio Donnell, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.